Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday, brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance. If price and really your personal needs are important to you, Kratzer Insurance. Homeowners, auto, life, business insurance, you name it, they have it. Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. As they say in Kevin's neighborhood in Danville, hola and buenos dias.
Just because I don't understand what they're saying? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, they are trying to confuse you.
I knew that's where you're going with that.
Figure that they sit back and they say to themselves, okay, how can we avoid talking to them? How about Spanish? That would be good.
Nice.
All right, so you have Rex Ryan.
I do. Yeah. I have Rex Ryan, and I couldn't help myself. But, you know, he had a little bit of a tirade Saturday night after the media questioned him a little bit regarding the use of Mark Sanchez in a pointless game in the fourth quarter.
You know, we're going to compete all the way through.
Is that a yes or a no, Rex? Does he have a chance?
Hey, I'll make that call.
I'm just asking. Does he have
I don't have to answer a question. I answer it the way I said. And from day one, I said, we will make the announcement of a starting quarterback when we think it's the appropriate time. Not when this person or this person or this person. Now, maybe that person, but that's about it.
That was only part of the whole discussion. And I'm just thinking to myself, does this sound like a Coors commercial to you coming in the future where somebody in the back row says, Coach, I just wondered who's invited to the party?
Not you and this person or this person or this person. Now, maybe that person, but that's about it.
Well, he'd have to approve it.
Well, listen, by the end of this season, he may need the cash.
Could be.
I'm just listening to that going, I can see Coors going, yeah, we've got a couple of commercials coming out of this one.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I'm sure that the geniuses there have thought of that. As expected, Bill O'Brien, no quarterback. Look, here's the bottom line. He has the quarterback. We know who, you know, he knows exactly who it is. And he knows, and he made that decision a while ago, and he's already told both guys. Okay? But he doesn't want to, you know, he thinks it's best in terms of the competitive advantage for the football team to not say a word. So, at the moment, he's not saying a word.
He's playing it close to the vest right now.
Sure he is.
For strategic purposes.
Right. You do that. You can do that for game one. No need to do that for game two. You already have established who the heck it is. So.
What do you think about putting Sanchez in the fourth quarter of that game? Now, it ends up he gets injured, and I understand the hindsight's 20/20, but he says he's playing to win, basically, in preseason game. Yeah,
okay.
In a preseason game that means absolutely nothing. And my question to you is, if it weren't the Jets and Giants, would he have done that?
All right. As a lifelong Giants fan, lifelong.
That's why I'm asking you this, because you could give good perspective.
Here's the bottom line. That game meant a ton in 1968 and 1969 and 1970. When they played the old Albie Booth game in Yale Bowl. They'd never played before. The Jets one year were Super Bowl champions. And to Giants fans, it meant a lot to beat the upstart Jets. When the Giants beat the Jets in the regular season in 1970, that meant a ton. That's the last time it meant something.
And the fact that it's a preseason game, though.
Right. And when they played in the preseason, the first time they played in Yale Bowl in the preseason, remember Joe Namath ran the ball in for a touchdown. that game when they played in Yale Bowl, and the Jets won, by the way, meant, I mean, every Giants and Jets fan watched that game because it was the first time. And not only was it the first time, but the Jets were defending Super Bowl champions.
And I understand
the,
that.
That's the last time it meant something because of AFL, NFL, which a good chunk of our audience does not remember. You don't remember.
No,
I don't think you remember
no.
the AFL being. No. I do. Yep.
I mean, I see it in the old footage of NFL films and things, but
sure.
That's it. Exactly. But here's my question. Why? Why put him in that situation? If that game
there
doesn't
no,
mean anything,
okay.
Why bother? He's going up against the second team of the Giants at best. He's right. Got a lot of rookies there protecting him. If this guy is indeed going to be your starting quarterback or compete for the starting quarterback, do you really want him in that situation?
No, you don't. And he made the wrong move. He shouldn't have played him. If you're going to play him, you have to do it. If the idea was you're going to play Geno Smith to find out what he can do, then play Geno Smith and find out what he can do. There's no need to play Mark Sanchez, just like you don't play Le'Veon Bell with the second offensive line. Now, admittedly, the Giants had all twos in as well. Okay, that was not the number one Giant defense out there. But I'm not sure what he gets out of playing
ego.
The number two defense.
It's ego. That's the whole thing this game was ego. Now, I will defend him on one part. I thought the way the question was phrased was leading, and I think it was a little bit unfair. But listen, you're an NFL coach. That's the way it's going to be.
Here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. You want to know why he reacted like that?
Because he knew he was wrong and he was trying to cover it.
Yes, he knew. He knew he fouled up. Okay.
I played a win.
No,
that's basically what he's saying.
Let me go back to what was the example I gave of Peyton Manning last week? What was his record as the starting quarterback for the Colts in the preseason?
Oh,
four wins and 28 losses.
But I remember the conversation.
Nobody cares. Okay, what your preseason record is. Okay, time now for Inside Penn State Athletics, courtesy of Penn State Sports.
Shopping for insurance to save money is not an easy thing. What if I told you there's good news for Pennsylvania residents searching to save money on homeowners, auto insurance, RVs, motorcycles, and more? What if I told you you didn't have to sacrifice local personal service? Then call or visit online the Kratzer Insurance Agency in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, serving the area now for 50 years.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. We are proud to offer Safeco Insurance at a very competitive rate. Some customers have saved as much as 50% off their premium.
Safeco has been around since 1923 and in 2008 became part of the Liberty Mutual Insurance, a name well known and trusted in the insurance industry. Start saving and be safe with Safeco and Kratzer Insurance.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
At Sunbury Motors, the rewards are many. And the regrets? Well, the regrets just don't happen. That's because no matter what vehicle you buy from Sunbury Motor Company, you are guaranteed to be satisfied. Not only when you first get that new or used car, truck, or SUV, but when you have your vehicle serviced, you'll always have the best experience possible from start to finish. Talk about variety being the spice of life? Well, at Sunbury Motor Company, you have the luxury of choosing from all the best brands like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. Each and every vehicle comes with awesome service and financing plans that fit your budget and are super easy to afford. You can even submit a financing application online and calculate the value of your trade-in. Ask about Sunbury Motors Tire Rewards Program. Service, parts, body shop, and quick lane too. New or used, the best vehicles come from Sunbury Motor Company. Visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory and visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Okay, any questions anybody have about Penn State football? We'll take them at 800-795-9565. We're going to do an open line today. Then we have a lot of people tomorrow, including Lou Prado tomorrow. Lou has a new book. I talked about examining the 2012 season. Let's start with the 2012 component here. I know everybody loved that team, and justifiably so. That season's over now. Okay, every team, and I have been extremely fortunate in my lifetime, it has its own personality. And at some point, that personality is the dominant one of the 2013 team. Now, what is a carryover that helps from 12? Here's what helps. Regardless of the quarterbacks, everybody on that team knows that system. All the veteran players know it. And because of that, there's no guesswork. There's no doing this by the numbers. There's no having to think your way through the game. You don't have to think your way through the game. You already know the system. So there's the carryover from 12. Oh, sure, there are subtle differences. New plays here and there. You want to fit in that mark the personality you're establishing. But that's not a whole playbook. Same thing on defense. John Butler was in the system last year. John Butler knows the system. There are certain parts of this that are going to be imprinted from John Butler that are his baby, okay? No question about that. But the base system of what they want to do, no guesswork. The next part that's a carryover from 12 is the fact that the coaches know the personalities of the players they're coaching. Mac McWhorter knows what buttons to push and not push with Eric Schwab, Donovan Smith, Miles Diefenbach, John Urschel, Ty Howell. Charles London knows what buttons to push and what the capabilities are of Zach Zwinak, Bill Belton, Akeel Lynch. Hey, there's not a learn-as-you-go deal by the coaches, just like there's not a learn-as-you-go deal by the players. And they know the personalities. The players know the personalities of the coaches now, and the coaches know the personalities of the players. So that's the 12 component that lays the foundation for 13. But every team has its own personality. There will be a different personality and thus a brand new team in 2013 that has the foundation of what was laid in 12. But again, they have not played a football game in 9 months. So there's not going to be an emotional carryover from Wisconsin into this opening game with Syracuse, and that just doesn't happen. Where the Wisconsin game made a big difference was in the winter program. When you go into the winter program with positive juice and a big win, an emotional win, it helps get those first couple of weeks of the winter program going where you feel like you're working for a purpose, which then dovetails into the spring. So every team is brand new. It's fresh. It's new. There's not a carryover. And you don't know how a season plays out. Alabama's the preseason number one. Could Alabama win the national championship? No question. They have the talent. Will they? I don't know. Every team is different. You know, that Alabama team has now a veteran in A.J. McCarron. Okay, T.J. Yates is going to be the guy that T.J. Yeldon, excuse me. T.J. Yeldon is going to be the tailback they turn to on an every down basis. But Yeldon won't have an Eddie Lacy to take pressure off him. McCarron's not going to be taking snaps from a real stalwart in the middle named Barrett Jones. Secondary's all different for Alabama. Look at Ohio State, the consensus number two. They're rebuilding almost an entire defense. Hankins is with the Giants. Simon's in the NFL now. They have a great linebacker back in Ryan Shazier, whom I feel is one of the top six or seven linebackers in the Big Ten, along with Borland of Wisconsin, Bulla of Michigan State. Hall and Carson are in that category to me from Penn State. I think Kirksey and Morris are pretty good from Iowa. He's one of the top six or seven linebackers in the whole league. Great player, but he doesn't. And the secondary is all new. But the offense is better than last year. But defense carried Ohio State. What if A.J. McCarron gets hurt? What if Braxton Miller gets hurt? Personalities of teams change even as the season goes. That's why you think you know what's going to happen, but it's a lot more fun watching it happen.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. If service and price mean anything to you, and let's face it, today I think those are the two most important things people think about, service and price. Homeowners, business insurance, auto, life, they have it. Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, the good people at Kratzer Insurance who absolutely care about you. High school football starts on Friday night, Kevin.
Yes, it does. I've been waiting since beginning of March for this. That's when basketball ended.
I know.
I just wanted to make sure you were doing the math there on that. Yes. Did you go to sleep? Did I put you to sleep already?
No. Oh. How good can Shikalimi be?
Their offensive line is going to be the key. I mean, they have a lot of key skill positions back, a lot of talent back. The offensive line, if they can be, you know, if they can put that offensive line together and be solid and open up some holes for the running game and then let the passing game develop from that, I think they're going to be fine. I think this is probably, though, one of the most – actually, I will go out on a limb and say this is the most competitive Heartland Conference I have ever seen. Since this conference was put in place, I honestly don't remember any time where I feel three, maybe even four teams have a shot to win it this year.
Said that eight wins could be a last seed.
I think 8-2 could find you in double A, especially 8-2 in double A could find you on the road for at least the first week of the season and maybe even longer. They have eight teams that come into the playoffs, and double A is just stacked. I mean, and it's been stacked for a long time, but it just doesn't seem to change. You got Lewisburg, Mount Carmel, Danville, Montoursville, all those teams. Any one of those teams can come out with a District 4 championship this year in double A.
Well, and they open up with Mount Carmel. That's not an easy opener.
That is going to be the tough part, is the Mount Carmel opener. And you know, we got a question last year on the show, why start out with Mount Carmel? And it goes back to the old adage that you have to be the best, you have to beat the best. And Mount Carmel historically has been a solid ball club. No matter when they start, no matter where they are in their development, they always give teams problems. And I'll tell you, I can only remember maybe a handful of years in the past two decades where they have not made the playoffs. Maybe not even that many. I can only think right now of about two times in the last 20 years that they haven't made the playoffs. That's how good this team is and how well put together they are at the lower levels, at the junior high levels and junior varsity. And Carmen DeFrancesco always does an outstanding job and will have that team ready. And it's one of those teams that often runs a 5-2 defensively, but still teams cannot throw the ball on them. You know, you look at a 5-2 and you think, well, we should be able to throw the ball if we can't run it. That doesn't always happen with this defense. A very athletic defense. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, a lot of skill positions back for Shikalimi. A lot of optimism there. Mount Carmel coming off of a successful season as well. May have a couple of holes here and there to fill, but they always seem to do that very well.
That's Friday night. So that's the question I want to ask today. I know there's a lot of Penn State football talk, but here's the question I want to ask fans today. 800-795-9565. I delved into this a little bit last week, but I want to hear get calls tonight. What makes a high school Friday something you look forward to? Is it the atmosphere? Is it the camaraderie? Seeing old friends? Is it the game? Is it because you love high school football? Is it the band? What is it about a high school Friday night up and down the valley that makes Friday night special?
800. Oh, go ahead and give the number.
800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. What makes a high school football Friday night a powerful night for you? That is a must, like you circle it, it's a must see for you. What is it? Seeing friends? Getting together with friends? Great social event? Is it the band? Is it seeing the game? Does it bring back memories? I mean, what is it? I mean, for everybody, maybe it's something a little different. 800-795-9565. What makes a high school Friday night in central Pennsylvania a special night for you? A must-see night for you? An entertaining night for you? Your thoughts, Kevin? You're going to interject?
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been to a couple of NFL games, and the tailgates are fine at an NFL game, but it's not the same atmosphere at an NFL game as at a college game or a high school game. I think the tailgates seem to be more fun at a college football game for some reason, but the atmosphere that you have in high school, it's the same type of atmosphere only multiplied by 20 at a college game. And mainly that's because of the amount of fans. I mean, you know, that has a lot to do with it, but it just seems that there's, and maybe this is because of the student sections, both in high school and in college. Maybe that's what adds that little bonus that isn't there in an NFL game.
Okay. Food. Food's another part. You love the food.
I do. Sadly.
Well, no, I wasn't making fun.
I know you're not. It's what I'm laughing at is I do love it. I just rarely get a chance to do it anymore. I mean, you know, the food at a tailgate is a lot different than a picnic or in the house or whatever. You can sit there and watch this game on TV and simulate a tailgate in the house. And I've tried this, by the way. It's just not the same. The food tastes different at a tailgate. And, of course, the food at the concession stands of high school football games, especially in this area, you get such a variety of items, a lot of which are only available in this neck of the woods. I mean, Halushki is one of them. You only get that at a handful of football games. And you can't watch a football game in late October with your breath, you know, with being able to see your breath without a bowl of Halushki in front of you.
I've never had Halushki.
That's never good had. Stuff. Good stuff.
What's in Halushki? Just for the curious.
Let's see. Cabbage, noodles. They're thicker noodles. I'm not sure what. I honestly don't remember what the meat is. There is a meat in it, and I can't remember. I want to say ham, but I don't think that's right. I just know that, like I said, in late October, early November, when you can see your breath, nothing's better than a bowl.
When do you get to a game?
Probably, depending on where it is. Home games by 5:30, quarter to 6. Which gives me about 15 minutes to soak up atmosphere. And you know how much I like soaking up atmosphere.
Sure.
Remember what I told you, the blue-white game last year. What was the first thing I said to you? Walking through the parking lot after I got there, I said, man, I'll tell you what, I really miss the tailgate at these college games. There's just not enough time to do that.
Right. Well, I do and I don't. As you know, I get there 45 minutes before airtime, which means I'm there, which means, by the way, I'm there 2 hours and 15 minutes before kickoff. I mean, so when people hear I'm there 45 minutes ahead of time, if it's a 3:30 kick, I'm not getting there at 2:45. I mean,
And I picked on Steve.
That means I'm there at 1:15.
And I picked on Steve many times about when he's there. But what you also don't understand is Steve's not just sitting there with a headset on preparing. He's going to five or six different places first that want to talk to him and then heads over to the tailgate show.
Well, I mean, you have some. I've cut back on the obligations. I've done that because I think, you know, I've just thought it was the best thing to do. I've cut back. It's every once in a while they want you to, you know. I do meet a lot of sponsors before the game, which is important. But I've cut back on other media obligations. How about that? Because I just thought it was the best thing to do. I think you really need to dial in on what you're doing in that particular day. I mean, and it's not what the fact that you're doing it. It's the walking that you have to do to get there and the walking you have to do. You know what I mean? It takes up time. And people are extremely nice. Okay, extremely nice. I also get stopped a lot.
It takes you a half an hour to get from one section of the parking lot to another. I can understand that.
Right. So I've cut back on some of that, on a good chunk of that. That's part of the reasons why I get there at, like, say it's a noon game. I get there at 9:45.
But see, that's part of the atmosphere of a high school or a college game that I don't think is there in an NFL game because you don't have...
Depends.
I don't want to say accessibility, but it seems like the NFL games are so closed off.
It depends, Kev. I mean, I've been to Lambeau Field. The tailgates at Lambeau Field are, wow.
Lambeau might be the exception to the rule because I think that's more like a college atmosphere. I've never been there. I know people that have, and that's what they tell me. They said it's like going to a college football game. I've been to a couple of Eagles games, and that was, I mean, that's been a while because that was at Three Rivers. That was before the Link.
I'll say this. I think that the high school atmosphere in State College is maybe a little different than it is in Mount Carmel.
I'd agree with that. I've experienced both, and I would agree with that.
In Mount Carmel, I really feel there's a be-all, end-all to, like, it means everything.
Listen, they send a parade. The band comes out. There's a parade at every home game that marches down to the entrance of the Silver Bowl. Then they come in the Silver Bowl. The fire trucks are there. It is literally, I kid you not when I say it's an event.
Well, I think there's a be-all, end-all. I think winning means everything to those fans in Mount Carmel.
Well, they've done it an awful lot, too.
Okay. But in State College, because of Penn State, it's a really great thing and a fun thing to go to on a Friday night. Now, whether they win or not, of course, to the players, it means everything. To the parents, it means everything. But I think to the community at large, I mean, they fire coaches in Altoona. All right?
Yep.
They don't in State College. How about that?
And here's the other thing with a high school or even a college game. There's a loyalty that is there. That whether it's because that's the town you live in now, or that's the school you went to, or that's the high school you graduated from, there's a loyalty there that is just unprecedented. I've gone through some really lean seasons calling Shikellamy games, and there were a couple of tough years. I'm not saying anything negative. It's just the way it was. But there were fans that were there every week, and they didn't dwindle. The fan base was the same couple of thousand people every single week, no matter what the record was. 1-9 still had a couple of thousand people at those games. It was amazing. I mean, that's something you don't see in many sports. Look at it right now. the Astros can barely get people to come into the game.
Yeah, but guess what? They're the most profitable team in the majors at $99
million. But they're making money.
I'm not joking. They're the single most profitable team. $99
million. But just from a fan loyalty standpoint, I mean, people were going in. It didn't matter that there was no playoff hope possibility or, you know, that it was not they hadn't won a game yet this year. It was still the same amount of people. And it was that goes across the board when it comes to these high school games. There's less fair weather fans. That's the best way to describe it.
What, in high school?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's less fair weather fans.
Kevin, I think it depends on the community. I think there's there's some communities now where it's so personal, coaches get fired. A high school coach gets fired. You're a high school coach. You're dependent on who was born in a certain year.
There's no recruiting. At least there's not supposed to be.
You depend on who was born in a certain year. Maybe you get lucky. There are 20 of them really talented born the same year. You have a great year.
But they eventually get older.
And you have to replace them. You know, I mean, Altoona's fired coaches. Newspapers will get on the coach not doing a good enough job. I've seen it. There's never an article in the Center Daily Times about whether a high school coach is doing a good job or a bad job. Never.
And they're the same size schools, aren't they? Aren't they both?
Yeah, the same size.
Both quads?
That's because of the Penn State component. The Penn State component keeps them under the radar. When you start expecting to win on the high school level, you lose perspective. When they win, it should be fun, exciting, dazzling. The Southern Columbia thing is amazing. Okay? But you have to be able to, if you're not recruiting kids and you're just taking what is available in your district, good luck to you.
but that's what makes it all the more impressive.
Sure,
I mean,
it does.
Is it the youth program? Is it the entire coaching staff? And there have been changes on those successful teams' coaching staffs.
You know what?
What is it that makes it so good?
Who knows? But you know what? You can have the greatest youth program on the face of the earth, okay? And if you don't have talent in your youth program, does it really matter? You can teach all the fundamentals you want, but if you don't have any talent.
Well, but I think it's important, too, that the youth programs are trying, and I say this loosely, trying to mirror what the high school programs are doing. That way, when the kids go into junior high, then they're at least, they know the terminology and they kind of have a basic idea of the formations, and then you can build upon that. I think that has a lot to do with some of the success of some of these schools.
No offense to all the people that work hard in these things. I am not a believer in the youth program.
I know.
I'm not a believer in it. To me, when they get to seventh grade, that's when you should start teaching them how to play. In terms of being dead serious about it.
No, I know how you feel. And that's one where you and I don't see eye to eye because of what I did.
By the time they get to ninth grade, they should have a handle on what's going on within the district. I think kids should be kids. You know, the most important thing a kid should be doing, you know, besides obviously, you know, in school, when they're out of school, okay, they should have built-in time where we're in the neighborhood having fun and playing.
That's what this is.
No, it's
just
under
a structure.
We have too much structure in today's society for kids. Too much. The areas of our country that need structure are actually within the inner cities. Okay? You need structure there because there's too much in their lives at home that are unstructured. It's been proven. I'm not speaking out of turn here. But when you're talking about suburbs and you're talking about central Pennsylvania and so forth, they need some unstructured time. When I was growing up, I had unstructured time. I enjoyed playing Little League. Then the season ended. Guess what we did? We went out. We picked up teams. We played ball. We picked up teams, played football, street ball. We picked up teams, played basketball in a dirt court. I went over a pond, picked up teams, played some hockey. You know, you know, we were running around all the time.
But that doesn't happen anymore, though, Steve, because the kids don't choose to do that.
No, that's not true. You want to know why? Because somebody got the idea that they could win by teaching kids early in life, and they started putting together all these programs. Right? Now, why aren't we doing well? It happened here in State College. They put together all these youth and traveling teams and all over the place. And I'm telling you right now, you know, I give all the parents credit to volunteer their time. I give kids credit for wanting to make themselves better. I understand that. But I don't think it helps to say, hey, we're all going to go to Colorado and play. Really? You are? I mean, I had somebody come up to me and says, well, you know, I says, what'd you do for your vacation this summer? Well, we went to Colorado. Matt had a soccer tournament. I'm like, really? You didn't go to the shore? You didn't go to the mountains? You went because he had a soccer tournament in Colorado? Really? That's no life. We're getting away from that. We need to go back.
Yeah, but I'm not supporting year-round sports either. I'm not supporting one sport year-round. And what you find are the kids that are playing traveling soccer leagues and baseball leagues, they're more apt to be one sport athletes. I don't like that idea at all, and I don't support that. I think every sport has its season.
Look, I mean, they had youth teams in my town. They had the Anfield Lancers and the Anfield Ramblers football team, okay? And I was too big for, you know, there's a weight limit or whatever, so I was above the 115-pound weight limit, whatever. And so I couldn't participate. It's fine. But you know, we did things. And the reason you're not getting kids playing within the neighborhood is because structure is forced on too many of them right now.
I don't know. I've coached a few kids that I think have been better off because of it than without it.
And I don't doubt you're absolutely right. Because believe me, in Babe Ruth baseball, when they get to that age, I definitely have coached kids. There are some kids in Little League where I felt like I was a glorified daycare center.
Right.
I'm not joking.
No, I've had that.
Right? And I've had a couple kids, not many, when I coached Babe Ruth 13 to 15s, where I just knew that that was the best 2 hours of their life. I knew that. So I get that part. As long as it's done in such a way where it's not overbearing and where it's done in such a way... Well, you know, what's wrong with that? We're not winning. You're saying you're in sixth grade. Who gives a damn if you win?
That's the story of my coaching career.
I mean, who cares if you win? I mean, really. I mean, everybody knows the score. Winning is important, okay? But if you don't win if you're in fifth grade or sixth grade, I'm sorry. It should not be mentally detrimental. I'm all for keeping score. Because teaching winning and losing does help along the way, but also don't make it so everybody goes in the tank because they didn't win when they're 11 years old. You know what I mean?
I do indeed. That All we right. agree on.
Your thoughts at 800-795-9565. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Kratzer Insurance.